Welcome to this session on Office 365 Change Management. I'm Alistair Spears.
And I'm Jake Zabrowski.
So this is module 6 of our Office 365 Fundamentals course. This is the last module. We'll be talking about change management in Office 365, a really important topic for IT pros. But before we begin, Jake, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So I have the pleasure of running the Office 365 Technical Product Management Team. We're a group of folks who spend our time really thinking and working on what's coming next in the service. We get a chance to work with customers and partners and, of course, our sales teams to really differentiate the product and work on what we're going to build in the product to help our customers do more with Office 365.
Fantastic. So change management. Change is one of those things that's perhaps the greatest promise of Office 365, but also maybe the greatest challenge for IT pros to think about as well. So, you know, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, we're going to talk about some really exciting things we have coming into the service. We've taken a lot of feedback from customers on how we evolve the service, not just the features in the service, but also how we deliver updates and features into the service. So today I want to talk about how that's changing, what the cloud means in terms of how you manage your environment, and also to help you stay in front of those changes as they do come to the service.
Fantastic. And Office 365 is one of these things that's constantly changing. Our approach to change management changes quite regularly as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, just like any feature of the service, we are evolving and updating and improving our ability to actually release updates to the service to, you know, take feedback from customers and to help you as you're improving your environment.
Fantastic.
Great. So let's just jump right into it here. The first thing I want to talk about is just some general principles of the cloud and what we mean when we talk about cloud computing and how it's different from how we've delivered software in the past and what that means to customers who are managing their environments and managing the users and the environment that they're managing on-premise in addition to the cloud services.
Sure.
So there are three principles that we talk about when we are going through what it means to be a service. The first is that Office 365 is an evergreen service. And what that means is it's always up to date. And for customers who have been on the journey with us and started in the days of BPOS and then have gone through a couple of upgrades to the service, we've really reached a very exciting milestone. And that milestone is that Office 365 is now an evergreen service, which means that we are always up to date, we're continually innovating and adding new capabilities to the service and improving the user experience, as well as the administration experience in the service on a monthly basis. And so evergreen means we're always up to date, and that's true for Office 365 today.
Great.
The second principle that I think is really critical and important for our customers to understand is that everything we do in the service is built on a foundation of trust. And when I say trust, it's around security, privacy, and compliance, and we'll get into more detail on that in a second. And the third is that we offer service that's highly scalable and available for customers, and we have a really great SLA attached to it, but also it's configurable to customers to tailor to their needs. And again, we'll go into more detail in just a moment.
Right. So trust, I think, is a really important thing because Office 365, it is a very different relationship you have with Microsoft than perhaps what you've had in a traditional on-premises software world where we just hand you the software, you deploy it, it's up to you to manage it. But Office 365 is a little bit different in that respect, isn't it?
You're right, Alistair. The really important thing to note here is that customers are entrusting us with their data. And in order to make sure we maintain that trust, we have to do everything within our power to keep that data secure and make sure that only is seen and accessed by the people who should have access to it. You're really important to begin with that customers own their data when it's in the Office 365 service, not Microsoft. We're just a steward and helping service it to the customer on their behalf. And so everything we do in the service is built on the premise of security, privacy, and compliance. We go through a huge amount of effort to ensure that we have the right controls in place, both for our operational systems and the people that are managing the service, but also the controls in place for customers to be able to manage the data in their own way to meet their own compliance requirements and their own privacy requirements internally.
And I think people are getting more and more sophisticated with how they approach compliance. You know, governments are getting more sophisticated with the regulations that apply to different organizations. And just the non-IT groups inside the business are getting smarter and smarter about how they use technology, what policies need to be in place, what regulations they need to follow, and what security capabilities they want out of their IT investments.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the great things about a service like Office 365 is that we have world experts in security and compliance that are working on our service and innovating on our service all the time, looking for new ways to provide controls for customers, new ways to comply with standards, looking at emerging compliance standards that we should be complying with. So it really gives customers, especially customers who haven't been able to invest that heavily, tools and confidence that we're doing that on their behalf. So it's really a great experience for customers.
Fantastic. And so what about privacy? I mean, privacy is a big question mark on a lot of cloud services, and people that have grown up with sort of consumer cloud services based on advertising and those sorts of things may have a very different expectation of what cloud is in terms of privacy to, say, what we provide in Office 365.
Yeah, it's a great question. So privacy obviously is critical to how we operate. You know, and our business model isn't predicated on things like advertising. And so we really, really are very judicious with the data and ensuring that access to that is really only for the use of the customer according to their terms. And so privacy is just core to how we function and really, really a key part of what we do in terms of protecting that customer's data. Mm-hmm. So we have some really great blog posts if you go to Microsoft.com that talks about privacy and some of the stances we have on that and how we handle data and what promises we make to customers. So I'd suggest going to the Office 365 Trust Center and really getting a little more depth in our privacy policies.
Great.
So the last thing in terms of the cloud principles I wanted to talk about is just configuration, scale, and customization of the service. Mm-hmm. You know, being a cloud service, it's a little bit different in how you manage it. But one thing I really want to make sure that people are clear about is that we are not limiting your ability to actually configure the service. In some cases, you actually have more ability to configure the service than you've had with on-prem software in the past.
Right.
And so customers can really tailor that environment to their specific needs, to their specific use cases, and to meet their specific business requirements, which I think is really, really, really exciting for customers that they can still do that in the cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big difference is that customizations happen differently in the cloud. Because as you can imagine, we have a single fork of the code base running this globally scaled multi-tenant bits offering, and that you can't go in and fork the code for one specific business need. So we provided the new cloud app model, which gives customers an abstracted way of actually doing the customizations and adding additional capabilities and additional services or custom apps into the environment, taking advantage of the data that's in the service, taking advantage of the infrastructure and the user experience, but allowing you to customize in a way that doesn't prevent us from actually maintaining that evergreen service we talked about earlier.
And we call that the cloud app model, but it still applies to our on-premises products as well, doesn't it, Jake?
Absolutely. It's not something that's relegated only to the online world. It's actually for both on-prem and online. It's a pretty exciting model.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talk about maintaining an evergreen service, and that's really why we're here today, is actually to talk about what does that mean? And it's a big fundamental shift in how software is delivered and how customers receive updates to a service. And we'll talk about more details about how we released in the past, but this notion of evergreen and things constantly being updated or upgraded in the service can be a scary prospect because of how people have accepted change and done updates and managed their environment in the past. And so today we're going to delve into how we do change management and how we communicate to you on how we upgrade the service so that you can really feel confident that we're going to give you the right information at the right time to be prepared for that and that those changes are not as disruptive as you may have experienced in the past.
Great. So, you know, that constant change, that evergreen service nature of Office 365 is a big difference from on-premises where we're kind of used to that maybe monthly patch cycle of applying our Patch Tuesday patches and those sorts of things. But in terms of feature patches and actually rolling out features to the users, how are we changing that in Office 365?
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about a service is that we do a lot of that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly we're updating the infrastructure, managing that on a daily basis, but also the rolling out of updates to the service. You know, being evergreen means that the user experience is also evergreen, so we're sending out those updates regularly to end users as well as to IT and other roles in your company. And so we do that on your behalf, so you no longer have to spend your time worrying about rolling out the updates.
Yeah.
And you can spend more time thinking about the impact of those updates and what preparation you need to have for your end users, what training and how you may take advantage of those and how some of the new and emerging things we're delivering into the service may be help you deliver more and better meet business requirements.
Great.
So let's talk about where we've been and where we're going so that people can understand what's different and how this new model is really exciting for them. So in the past, we had a release cadence that was, every approximately 3 years. We say 1 to 3, but really probably every 3 years we released a version of our server products. And that was a big amount of innovation. We would develop something, do a lot of innovation, and work on updates and take customer feedback and improve the service. And then open the garage door, and then a big chunk of software would be delivered to customers. And we would market that, and we would talk to you about it, and we would provide release notes on all the things, the ins and outs of it, and there'd be TechNet articles describing the latest version of the service or the server. And then it was incumbent upon our customer to actually go in and then consume that, figure out what was in it, how it changed things in their environment, if there were new and interesting things they wanted to take advantage of or not. But consuming that was pretty significant.
Yeah.
It was a big chunk of change that you're taking on all at one time. This is what we called the wave releases.
Yeah.
And so my sophisticated graphic here explaining that these waves, and you know, each wave that we would release would build on top of the previous. The reality for most customers is that they actually didn't just adopt each wave as they came along.
Yeah.
They would actually wait and only adopt one or every other, or maybe they would even skip two.
Sure.
And so when you think about the quantity of change that customers would be consuming at one point in time, it was significant. It was very significant.
Mm.
Significant to the point where we found a lot of customers didn't actually take advantage of a lot of the new stuff and the new innovation inside the product.
Right? And it was, you know, that 3 years of innovation at once meant that it could take you 18 months or so to actually deploy all of that stuff in that version. And by the time you've done with the 18-month project, you just want to sit out for a while and wait for 5 years, perhaps.
That's
skip
right.
a few waves and then surf the next one.
That's right. Yeah, it was a lot of fatigue around consuming those updates. And if you skipped a release and you were, you know, one or two behind, that amount of pain that you went through in terms of doing app compat work, doing end-user remediation and training and updating desktops and browsers and working with all your ISVs and other applications that worked with the Office servers, it was just a huge amount of work,
absolutely.
At one time.
And essentially you're getting 6 years of change all of a sudden if you skip one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's a significant amount of work. And again, a lot of customers just ended up not really changing and evolving with the software.
Mm-hmm.
They kept processes the same because it was such a big amount of change. And frankly, it was difficult for even us to talk to you about the change because there was so much. We would do, here's the top 10 items that are in this release, even though there'd be hundreds, if not more, of really exciting things that we did in each release that, you know, just weren't getting the light of day, customers weren't getting visibility to.
Yeah, I know the term we use sometimes is the back of the box features, or the features. What are the features you can actually print on the back of the Office box? And those
That's
are
right.
kind of the key features. But you know, 3 years is a long time to build far more than just that tiny little piece of paper.
Yeah. That's right. So going forward, you know, in the evergreen world, it's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just did what we called the last upgrade of Office 365, and that was a move from what was Wave 14 to Wave 15, or the 2014 version of the product. And there was a fundamental shift that happened in that upgrade. We, for the last time, for the first time, really built for online first, and that is what we're doing going forward. We're an online first world within Office 365, and all the new capabilities, new features, new services, new scenarios are all being built online. And then we're bringing those to the on-premise servers that will be delivered through, you know, service packs and through our regular release cadence. And so for customers that are online, they're going to get stuff first. They're going to get stuff right away.
Right.
Customers that are on-premise will get it eventually as well, but through more standard release process.
Sure.
So a great amount of innovation, a lot of exciting stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
This model is a ripple model versus a wave model.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's really important to understand in terms of the difference. You're not consuming now large blocks of change that it's all happening at the same time. You're actually consuming small little incremental changes that are happening on a regular basis. And so most of these changes have really little to no impact. They don't change the user experience to any extent that's insignificant, and they don't really change how your workflows, but you do get a chance to see and take advantage of changes that are impactful for your business ahead of time. And you do get to make small little changes and incremental tweaks to your environment and your on-premise desktops or your servers to take advantage of those changes as well.
Sure. So can you give us some examples of how we've done that already in Office 365, how this ripple model has really taken effect and made some changes in the product?
Absolutely. One of the pieces that's super exciting to me is in this ripple model, where we're constantly, you know, working on updates to the service and prioritizing what we fix or what we improve, we actually have the opportunity to listen to customers more than we have in the past and take their feedback. And so we have now in the product features that we got directly from customer feedback that we've delivered basically in a very short turn cycle, when before, yeah, in the Wave model, it'd take at least 3 years, if not longer, yeah, to get customer feedback actually into the product.
Sure. And
let me give you a couple examples. One example is that we've now added the ability to do rights management on Office or document types outside of just the Office file formats. You know, we understand that customers, right, have things like PDFs and image files and TIFF files and other things, mm-hmm, even music files or video files that they want to,
yeah,
use rights management with, and we were now able to add that into the service, and customers that are using Office 365 got that right away. So that's one of the exciting innovations that we've added.
Great.
Another is, you know, we have the ability for customers actually to respond directly to us inside the product. We have the send a smile that you, mm-hmm, can say, hey, I like this or I don't like that in the product. We listen to it and we make improvements based upon that. One really great example is some of the work we've done in terms of how we've improved the sharing model, right, yeah, and the integration with the Office clients. Mm. We got real direct feedback from customers. They wanted simpler ways to share, simpler and easier integration with SharePoint and OneDrive, yeah, for Business. And so we've made changes in the sharing model based on that feedback from customers. And again, customers in Office 365 got those updates right away.
Right. And so it's not just the server products in Office 365, the kind of back-end services like Exchange and SharePoint that are benefiting from this, but it's also right down to the Office client applications and the web apps and the phone apps and those sorts of things as well.
That's right. It's across the board. And being, you know, delivering again through a service gives you the ability to respond and update and send those updates out to the service, and customers that are using the service get it right away.
Great.
Yeah. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I do want to talk about, kind of shifting gears a little bit also, that, to give customers a preview into how they actually get in front of this. You know, mm-hmm, one of the feedback programs that we do have is a new program. It's called the NDA Preview Program. It's another mechanism to give us feedback. It allows our customers to actually work directly with our engineering team and see things before they're actually released, to give us additional feedback, help us understand if the user flows are right, if the UX is appropriate, if it actually works the way it's intended, if it meets the business needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this great program, NDA Preview, and customers can go and sign up if they're interested. And then they have the opportunity to work with us, and we work with them and give us feedback and work back and forth.
Sure.
So pretty exciting program.
And so the NDA Preview is the non-disclosure agreement, so there is some things that the customer does have to do to be eligible for this, is that right?
That's right. There's some work a customer has to do to be eligible. They obviously have to, we call it the NDA Preview, they have to sign an NDA, and then they have to commit to actually providing feedback. And
right,
they can pilot a group of users within their environment, so if they want their IT shop to be able to, you know, provide feedback and get early access to some of these features, and it's primarily end-user-oriented features today, they can do so, and they can take a group of users in their environment and put them in the preview program, and, you know, they don't have to create a separate environment. Great. To do a bunch of work. They just have to work with us on
mm-hmm.
it.
But even if they don't do anything, they still get all of these new features eventually in the service, right? There's no gate that they'll stay back on an older version of Office 365 or anything like that.
No, that's right. And it's a great point. You know, we call it an evergreen service. It's always up to date, and it's always up to date. And mm-hmm. customers are moving forward with us. It's like
right.
the train is on a single set of tracks, and it's moving yep. forward, and we're all on board.
So these preview programs are more the case you're on the first carriage rather than the last carriage in the train. Sort of
that's thing. Right. So, that's yeah. right. And I'll explain a little bit how we're going to go through the vetting process and release process to give you a little more insight to how it all fits together.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Great. So one thing I wanted to also show, just to kind of make it real, that we have actually been delivering Office 365 in this evergreen mode
mm-hmm.
For almost a year now.
Yeah.
And in that time period, we've had nearly 80 you know, updates to the service. And here's a sampling of those here. And you know, some of them are small and some of them are big, but a lot of them are really just additive to the service, really enhancing the user experience and enhancing the experience for IT. You know, we've done a lot of updates to the Office Online apps, so Excel Online, Word Online,
mm-hmm.
PowerPoint Online. We've done a lot of updates around business intelligence, adding new capabilities with Power BI. We've done a lot of work around identity and identity management within the service, as well as onboarding, end user UX, a ton of work around sharing and OneDrive. So there's just some really exciting stuff that we've added to the service over the last year.
Fantastic. And this just, we just get it for free on Office 365.
You just get it for free.
Right.
Yep. We've actually are hearing more and more from customers that are on-prem. Hey, wait, I want that too. When do I get it?
Yeah.
And the way you get it is by using the Office 365 service.
Right.
So,
yes, that's a lot of changes.
That's a lot of changes.
How should we think about that kind of change management and managing our environment? Because as IT pros, we really want to stay in control of this environment. We don't want to let any of our assets get out of control and have a kind of a non-managed environment. So how do we stay up to date with all of this?
Yeah, it's kind of a juxtaposition, right? You're used to the Wave model, and so change can be a daunting task. And then, you know, we were talking about incremental change. It's hard to know how real that is and what that actually feels like until you've lived it. And so, but we've heard feedback from customers that they do need a little more information and a little earlier notification. And so we're actually evolving the change management model to help customers and to meet those needs. We're not just taking feedback on product features. We're taking feedback on the process and the operations of the service as well.
Right.
And so we're talking about some really cool stuff that we're doing inside the service to help our customers have a little more control around when they can actually see what's going on inside the service.
Great.
So let's quickly talk about what's changing. Again, like all features in the service, we're evolving and maturing every aspect, including operations of the service. And so there's three key things that we're going to be improving upon over the next few months, one of which is the process for actually which we release features, and in particular, end-user-facing features, because obviously those are the ones we're most concerned about, because those impact our users and can impact our support, you know, help desk costs and whatnot. Yeah. And then we're also improving our communications policies, again, to make sure that, you know, the IT folks are really the hero within the environment and have the information in order to be prepared when changes do come. And last but not least, we're also going to be evolving and improving our roadmap disclosure policy. In a cloud service where things are dynamic and we're releasing on a regular cadence, you know, the old systems of the past for communicating what's coming in the service, you know, medium and longer term, don't work, and we have to really provide a more transparent way of communicating that. So some exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first thing I want to make sure you understand is that we're how we look at change within the service. And we have a categorization process to look at different types of change based upon their impact primarily and what happens when we release those updates.
Because not all updates are the same, right? There's some big ones, there's some little ones, there's some background ones, and there's some user-facing ones as well.
That's right. There's a bunch of different types of updates to the service. And you know, one thing I want to be very clear on, we're using the term update and not upgrade because, again, we've moved to that cloud-first model, and so we're really out of the upgrade process.
Yep.
And we're really more just about evergreen updates. And so there's, you know, five different types of updates to the service that we categorize. And the first are feature updates. And these are updates to existing features, existing scenarios and services within the product that would, you know, have some impact potentially to the user experience, although most of the updates there don't. They're just additive and improvements. But those are where the majority of updates are actually coming from, is these feature updates for existing scenarios.
Okay.
Then we have another category, which are feature or introductions, where we're introducing new services, we're introducing new applications and new features. For instance, you know, when we introduced Office Mobile for the iPhone, we introduced OWA for iPhone as well. So those are some examples of things that are additive. They don't impact the existing user flow. We add them to the service. You can choose to take advantage of them, or your users can choose to take advantage of them, but it doesn't disrupt how people are using the service today.
Right.
And then we get into more platform-oriented updates, and this is where, you know, some of the more heavy lifting comes in, where we're taking burden off of you, but we're also wanting you to stay up to date and in control as well. The first one, and we use a scary name, but it's really not as scary, are called disruptive updates.
Yep.
These are updates that impact the flow of data between our service and your environment. And so those are updates where we really, really try to over-communicate to you what's going on, so you have really clear timeframes and guidance on what you need to do to make sure you're ready for those changes. And that's, you know, really big changes. They don't happen very often. You know, API changes, deprecations, changes that are based upon our system requirements. And we'll talk about how you manage to that in a minute.
Sure.
The second type are configuration changes. These are changes that, you know, really don't have as big of an impact, and it's not as much work to actually get ready for those changes, like small DNS changes, small configuration changes that you may need to make. And so we have a different category for those type of changes.
Right. But they are changes that an IT admin needs to actually make some change on their on-premises environment to continue, is that?
Yes, that's correct. Those are changes that you'd be responsible for making in the service. And it may or may not actually, you know, cause data to stop flowing, but it would be something that we're going to communicate to you about and make sure that you're prepared for and can make.
So it's kind of a hygiene thing that IT pros should be aware of and make sure that they address if they're using like particular capabilities or something like that.
That's exactly right. It is more of a hygiene type of update.
Okay.
And then the last but certainly not least type of update to the service are, you know, bug fixes and security fixes. You know, we're constantly managing the service. We're patching servers. We're managing hardware. We're dealing with hard disk failures and whatnot in the service. So we're working within the service on a continual basis to make sure it's up and running, scalable, and available, and to provide, you know, for our SLA and our global availability. So we're constantly managing the service. That's stuff that's just happening in the background of the service on a daily basis.
Right. So in terms of those end-user-facing features, they're probably the ones that we're most concerned about from an IT pro perspective, because our users will start calling us, they'll pick up the phone, they'll raise help desk calls and those sorts of things. So
yeah.
What do we have to try and make that a little bit more kind of get in advance of those sorts of features
rolling
out?
Those are certainly not the features that you like to be surprised about.
No.
And so we're trying to work to provide you with as early access and as early preview to those as possible, mm-hmm. both communicating them to you as early as we can, but also, if you're interested, giving you as early access as possible. We've actually heard from customers that some customers are like, hey, listen, I bought into this cloud model and I want change first. Like, as soon as these really exciting updates are available,
yeah.
I want to be first in line. And so we're introducing a new program that's called First Release that actually does just that. It allows you to be first in line, raise your hand, and you can be the front of the line in class to get these updates to the service.
Right.
So First Release is a new program that customers will be able to opt into. There'll mm-hmm. be an experience within the management console, the admin console for Office 365, where you can choose to opt your tenant in to First Release. By default, everybody's in our standard release program, so mm-hmm. nobody's in this by default. You get to choose. And in the First Release program, you will have the opportunity to opt in to be in the front of the line to get updates to the service.
Right.
With the program, we're also introducing some communication policies as well to ensure that customers get early preview to what's going on. The first is, we're going to tell all customers about a pending update to the service. And again, these are end user impacting updates. And to start with, as we're evolving and maturing, it's Exchange and SharePoint end user updates that are coming to the service that we will communicate to all customers a week before we deliver it to First Release customers. And so a week after we announce it, and I'll tell you mm-hmm. how we're going to announce it and where you're going to get the communications, but a week before we announce it, we'll tell all customers, and then First Release customers will start to get those updates.
So it's not really a beta program. You're not getting beta code or pre-release code or anything like that. This is actually the final updates that everyone will get. Is that right?
That's right. This is generally available code, fully documented, fully supported, ready to go in prime time. We're just providing a way for customers to get it first, and then for customers who need a little more time to have a little more time to actually prepare for those updates.
Right.
And in some cases, some customers may want to actually create a second tenant, put it in First Release so they get earlier access to play around with things before they go through the standard release process.
Right. So more of a testing environment you have on First Release, and then you have a little bit more warning before it hits the rest of your users or something like that.
That's right. And we're guaranteeing customers that there'll be a minimum of 2 weeks between when we release to the First Release set of customers and when we'll start the release through the standard release process. So
right.
customers will get a minimum of 2 weeks between, and then an additional 7 days warning ahead of First Release. So mm-hmm. a total of 21 days of notification before these would come through the standard release process.
Great. That's a great step. So not to be surprised by any of these features as well. But how would we actually turn this feature on?
Yeah, great question. This is a mock-up. The user experience and the admin console is coming soon, so you should expect to see it showing up over the next month or so. And so this is an example. Again, by default, all customers are just in our standard release pool.
Yeah.
But if a customer says, hey, listen, I'm ready, I want these things first, or they create a test tenant and they want to opt in at test tenant, there's going to be under service settings the ability to turn on First Release.
Right.
When you turn on First Release, within 24 hours, we will respect that, and we will start delivering those end user updates for Exchange and SharePoint through that First Release group, and then the other standard release customers will get it again after 2 weeks.
So all I need to do is just flick a switch, and then a day later, I'll start getting all of the latest updates coming through into my environment first.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow. That's
yeah,
pretty simple.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah. And if at some point in time in the future you decide, hey, I want to slow down a little bit, you can do that too.
Right.
Just go back in, flip the switch to off, mm-hmm. and then within 24 hours we'll respect that.
Right.
We're not going to take anything away.
Right. So it doesn't roll back any of those things I've got that the previous First Release.
That's right. It doesn't roll anything back. So everything you have up until that point will persist. Mm-hmm. And then going forward, we'll respect your setting for what release group you're in.
Great. So it's like a fast, slow button on the updates.
Yeah, that's right. A fast, slow button on the updates. Just to make this real for you, just to explain a little bit of our vetting process and how all these things fit together. So obviously, we go through many, many cycles of vetting features before we mm-hmm. release them to the service to make sure they're well documented, to make sure that there aren't a lot of bugs, mm-hmm. going through a ton of security and privacy reviews and work to make sure the features are really up to par for Microsoft standards before
sure.
we release them. So we go through dog food, we go through security reviews. We actually deploy all these updates to MSIT. So mm-hmm. we have Microsoft full-time employees plus all our vendors, right, a very large population of people who are actually using these updates before we release them out into the wild. Mm-hmm. And then those updates go through the NDA preview program, which we talked about earlier. Yeah. So customers are in the NDA preview program, giving us feedback, working directly with us. We'll see those updates. And then after we are confident that they're ready, the documentation's there, localization has taken place, then we'll release them out and they'll go to the first release customers.
Right. So even the NDA preview program is not really a beta per se. It's more of a release candidate, would you say, in the kind of on-prem?
Yeah. The analogy on-prem, I guess, would be a TAP program that we've had in the past,
right,
where we've worked with customers on technical preview of mm-hmm. updates to the service. So it's more of a TAP. Again, like the rest of the service, it's more incremental,
sure,
but it does give that earlier access.
Great.
So going forward, though, in addition to that NDA preview, now we have first release. So again, I'm wanting to put this on a time frame so you kind of get how all these pieces fit together. So we'll go through our vetting process. We'll dog food it. We'll go through our security reviews. Mm-hmm. We'll deploy it through MSIT and get real feedback from people using the service inside of Microsoft. We'll give it to our NDA preview customers, get direct customer feedback to finalize it, fit and finish, and take additional feedback. We'll notify customers before we release. Again, 7 days before, mm-hmm. first release customers will get it. We'll deliver it. It's generally available, fully supported code. First release customers will get it first. And then a minimum of 2 weeks afterwards, we'll start deploying it through our standard release cycle.
Right. So this is a big change in terms of how we get these service updates, almost from the way that we structure kind of our IT budgets, even around these kind of capital expenditures every few years for a big forklift upgrade. Now, essentially, we're saying this is operational. It's kind of on the train. We just need to constantly monitor, and we'll constantly get these updates as well.
Yeah. It's a great point. I think, and actually that's a great segue into what I want to talk about next, which is, as you're running your IT shop and preparing for this, like, what should you do and how is it different than how you prepared for updates, those forklift updates from the past? Because it is different, and there's different ways you need to manage some of the tools that we provide you.
And it's almost a kind of new muscle to build as well, where in the past, like, even just something as simple as deployment, maybe we wouldn't actually have the skills in-house because we just bring in an external consultant or a contractor to do that upgrade once every 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or something like that. Whereas now this is something that we just do every day, and we just see these updates flow through. So it's kind of it's an innate skill we all need to have in the IT pro profession.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be part of the core DNA of, what the IT pro will be doing in this cloud world. There's, what we found from customers who have moved to the services model is that there's plenty of work. The IT shop has been as busier than ever and actually have a much closer partnership with business because they're actually talking with them continually, getting ready for these updates, talking about how they can take advantage of it. We're releasing these incrementally, which means that you have more purview and more information on those incremental updates, mm-hmm. and you can actually have better, more depth discussions on how we take advantage of this on the business side of the house.
Great. So it's more of like, rather than trying to read a book every 3 years, we're just reading a blog every week sort of approach.
That's right. That's right. Staying up to date. And so, our role as Microsoft is to make sure that we're doing a great job of communicating to you so that you have the information you need and can really be the champion for that within your environment. Mm. So let's, go back, revisit again on the different types of change that we have in the environment. And now I kind of want to go through each of these and explain how you will stay on top of those changes and what tools you have and what we're providing for you as the source of truth to make sure you're ready for when those things change. So if you like my colorful chart here, going through these, I'm going to point to what, again, are the sources of truth for these updates. And so you can make sure that you're managing to those. Those feature updates, again, we talked about the time cycle around first release and communication processes. We have a new tool within the product called Message Center, and I'll show that and show some really cool stuff we're working on there. Mm-hmm. But Message Center is going to be the real source of truth for things that are coming imminently to the service. That's where we're going to communicate directly to customers and let them know that, T-7, this is coming to first release, and in the X time frame, it'll be delivered to our customers in the standard release group. And so Message Center is the place for you to go to get those direct communications on stuff that's coming imminently to the service.
Great.
One thing that we're also doing, and this is a change, is we're going to be publishing a public roadmap. And the public roadmap is going to be, 3 or so month view of what's coming into the service for things that aren't super sensitive. Those are few and far between, but for the majority of things, we're going to communicate those in a public roadmap so you can get a view, not the specific dates, because again, that's fluid in an evergreen service, but to give you an idea of the things that we're working on so you can make sure that you're prepared. And especially if there's that, if they'd only fix this, you can see on the roadmap when that may be coming for the service.
So you see the all up kind of view on the public roadmap, but then if you want to know your exact tenants, deployments, or those sorts of things, is that where it'll come into play in the message center?
Message center will tell globally when we will start the rollout process. You know, currently today, because of the way we've architected the service, and again, a multi-tenant, globally scalable service with the single infrastructure layer across all, we don't have the ability, because of the scale that we're doing with so many customers on the service, of telling exactly when an end user within your environment will get an update.
Right.
But we can give you general timeframes of when you may see the update.
Okay. So the update window is essentially what we're saying here.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's correct. Right. And so for end user feature updates, again, for Exchange and SharePoint, we're going to give you a T-7 message in Message Center saying this feature is imminently releasing to first release, and in this time frame, it will start the rollout through the standard release process.
Great.
And the public roadmap will be the other place to get a medium-term view of that. For new introductions, again, this is new services, new products, things that aren't part of the user flow today, that aren't disruptive to end users, those we will message at availability. Again, some of these are delivered through third-party marketplaces and other places that we don't control. And so our only real promise is that we will tell you that when they're available.
Sure.
Most likely, through the roadmap, we'll let you know earlier. But in some cases, it may just be at availability.
Okay.
The next type of change, the disruptive change, and this is one we really have to watch closely, is the place that you actually are going to manage a lot of this is through system requirements. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means and how that's different than how you've managed to system requirements in the past. But through that, we give you a 12-plus month view. And actually, some cases, it's 12. It's actually 24, even potentially 36 months.
Right. So as much as we can give you updates on those sorts of things as well.
That's right. And when it does come to the T-12 month mark, we have a disruptive change policy in place that dictates how we communicate to you as a security mechanism for our customers. And we'll actually start nagging you at the 12-month mark and repeatedly reminding you that these updates need to happen, these changes are imminent, and you need to get ready for them.
Great.
And then the configuration changes, we're also going to use Message Center as a primary place to communicate those. And depending upon the level of change, if it's a small little DNS change, it may just be a month. If it's a bigger hygiene type of change, we may give you a longer time frame for that.
Sure.
And then the last change type, the infrastructure improvements. Again, this is stuff we're doing in the background all the time. The only time we'd actually really communicate to you is if one of those changes actually requires us to actually do a service maintenance window or take the service down.
Right.
Those instances are pretty few and far between, and we're working on actually eliminating those completely. But in the instance we do need to do that, we'll communicate to you via both Message Center and the Service Health Dashboard.
I remember that was a bigger issue a couple of years ago in SharePoint. We go into like read-only modes on Sunday evenings and nights and those sorts of things, but I haven't seen that in quite a while. Are we still just keeping this here just in case we need to do something like that? Or is no longer a standard operating procedure in terms of rolling out updates?
It's a great question. Actually, we used to depend upon it more. We've done a lot of work in re-architecting how we manage and deploy updates to the service and doing it in a way that's not disruptive to our customers. And so reducing our dependency on needing to actually take the service down is one of those key things that we're trying to accomplish. And I think we've done a really good job of getting there. We still have a few instances where we would need it, but for the most part, we're not reliant upon that any longer.
Great.
So I want to give you also just a view on some of the communication vehicles as they're changing. We talked through a few of them quickly, but I want to reiterate those and point you to where you can go to get those resources. So for customers that are using the service today, there are really three ways we're communicating. One is the system requirements, which we quickly mentioned. The second is through our application lifecycle policies and our disruptive change policies. So those are in place to give you kind of that longer range view of what's happening in the service. And the last, but certainly not least, has been the Office 365 technical blog. If you're not reading it today, it's on you go to officeblogs.com and you'll be able to go and read these blogs and see what feature updates are happening in the service and get a little more detail on what we're releasing. And that's been a really exciting thing. We've had a ton of customers that are taking advantage of that and reading that blog on a daily basis. So we're communicating a lot of stuff there.
I know that's how I find out about updates first thing in the morning. Every morning I wake up, check the blog to see what the team has released overnight. So it's an important thing.
That's right. That's right. So we are adding some new components to this as well, which I've already mentioned briefly. One is the public roadmap. And we found that, you know, in the on-premise model, when we released every 3 years, we could create a slide deck of here's the things that are coming and have it under NDA, and then have our sales teams or our partners deliver that on our behalf. But it really required us to create the content, deliver it and train our sales team, who would then deliver it and train our partners, who would then deliver it to the customer. Not super agile, and it takes time for that process to work. And so we're going in a more direct model where we're going to be publishing our roadmap, that 3 month approximately, 1 to 3 month roadmap, on a website for customers to consume on their own, at their own leisure. So that's, I think, really exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And the last improvement that we're making is Message Center. I've mentioned it a couple times, but we're making some real big investments into Message Center and making that a source of truth for communications on change. So again, you have one place to go where you can really see what's imminently happening within the service, what actions you need to take, what potential impact there may be of an update, whether it's end user or configuration or disruptive change. We're going to communicate all that to you in one place.
Excellent. So. We talked earlier about system requirements, you know, and how we have an evergreen service and the service keeps evolving on and on and on. But, you know, what if, you know, there are other prerequisites? We have our on-premises environments, our Windows PCs, our Office installs, and those sorts of things that maybe we're treating perhaps deciduously rather than as an evergreen model. So how should we think about that? And how should we align those two things?
It's a great question. And this is one of the things in terms of the way we approach change that we need to shift. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, reading about the features on the back of the box, and it was a similar approach to system requirements. You know, when we went through that forklift upgrade every 3+ years, then we would go and say, what are the requirements for this upgrade or this update to the service? And so you'd read the box, here's the things I need to do, here's the remediation I'll need to go through in order to make sure my desktops and browsers and applications are all up to date with the latest version from Microsoft.
Yeah.
And you do that at a point in time in preparation for that big forklift process. Now it's more dynamic. We're still giving you a really long-range view in system requirements, and in some cases, our, you know, lifecycle policies are 5 years, like for the Office clients. So we give you actual 5-year view into what versions of the Office clients will be supporting. So you actually have a really long time to understand and prepare for that. You just need to do it a little bit differently. Rather than a point in time right before an upgrade, you just need to actively be managing to those system requirements.
Sure. Okay. And what about browsers? Because browsers have been changing faster and faster now. You know, it used to be a case that Internet Explorer sat the same for a few years. Now it's almost every year there's updates. And then when we look at things like Chrome and Safari, their updates are happening even faster. So how do we kind of reconcile that with Office 365?
Yeah, it's a great question. And this is actually, I think, one of the tougher things we have to deal with. You know, one, we're doing a lot of work to ensure that we support, you know, all the major browsers, Chrome, Safari, Firefox, obviously Internet Explorer as well. So we give the customers choice on the browsers they use and what they have going forward. For the browsers that are always up to date, we're supporting the latest version of those browsers or the version that are being supported actually by the vendor who provides them. And so that's consistent with their policies. And for Internet Explorer, we're supporting N-1, which depending upon release cycle gives you a pretty decent window of support for those browsers. This is one of the things, you know, moving forward, we're working on ensuring customers have a great experience.
So say if I do have an older version of Internet Explorer, I do have an older version of Office, am I actually going to get cut off from connecting to Office 365, or are we going into a kind of a more of a best efforts unsupported state in that sort of environment?
Good question. This is also important. We're not going to, you know, turn it off for you. But what may happen is we've taken dependencies on more advanced technology as we're innovating and advancing the service. And so there may be some experiences which just don't work quite the same as they would with the supported browser, the supported version of Office. But we're not going to turn things off for you. You know, you might have a slightly deprecated experience. Again, you know, You'll have the best experience for using the supported. We're not going to shut things off if you don't.
Great. So then it sounds like even though we've taken a whole lot of work off the shoulders of IT with Office 365, that we need to invest even more on keeping our own stuff that we still manage up to date, aligned with Office 365 as much as possible.
That's right. And actually, again, managing those system requirements and understanding the long-range view of what's coming and scheduling those things in appropriate timeframes to stay up to date.
Great.
Yeah. So we've mentioned Message Center, and I wanted to give you a little more detail on kind of our thinking around Message Center and what we're doing, and for those who haven't seen it or aren't using it today, what it actually looks like. So we've done a lot of stuff in Message Center, and we introduced it about a year, year and a half ago, as a way for us to communicate to customers around those disruptive changes, and things like browser changes and versions of Windows that were supported. And we've done a lot of work there. We've been in the background quietly working on a bunch of infrastructure behind Message Center to make it a more robust platform for communications to customers. And we have a lot more really exciting stuff going forward that we plan to do in Message Center. Some of the things we've done recently included, you know, a notification framework. Sounds really exciting. But what it does is actually draws attention to those changes and those notifications when they do come to help our customers actually realize that there's something they need to pay attention to. We've also done work to allow us to actually target specific customers so we can message to customers things that are going on specifically in their environment. And so between providing better reporting in the service on what's going on and managing your user infrastructure and changes that you need to make, we're helping customers tie the two together to really be more targeted in where they need to go to make changes to comply with our, you know, system requirements policies.
Right. So that's something like if I was using Project Online and there was a major update to Project Online, I would see that update. But if I wasn't using Project Online, I wouldn't see that update. Is that
right? That's right. Okay. That's right. Yep. That's exactly right.
Right.
So things that are coming, again, very soon to the service are some really exciting updates where we're going to be adding in new message types into the Message Center that will be communicating more things besides just those disruptive changes. So we're going to be creating a tab within Message Center that's going to be focused wholly on that end user upgrade experience. So those feature updates we talked about earlier, where we will be messaging to customers in the, you know, 7 days before first release and 21 days at a minimum before we start going through standard release, those updates. And so Message Center will be the place to get those communications. We're also going to be providing additional categorization and abilities to actually see message types, so it's easy to know who needs to respond to what. We're going to be flagging different messages that require you to take action or things that may have a bigger end user impact, so you'll be able to see and act to those and react to those in a more easy way.
Great.
We have some exciting stuff in the future with Message Center too. Again, I keep alluding to the future, but you know, we understand that customers want to consume this information in different ways, and there's different roles who are responsible for deployment across different technologies. And so we're looking at ways to make sure that you can consume those in the way you'd like. And the first thing that we're planning on doing in the future, no concrete dates yet, but in the future, is actually providing you an API to consume this data on the change communications that'll be consistent with API set we're building for service health information. So if you're using a set of system management tools or deployment tools and you want to consume this change in those systems, then you will be able to actually consume that data via an API.
Excellent. So if I'm using like multiple cloud services or I want to have that one version of the truth for all my different systems, I can see the service health of Office 365, the updates in my kind of service desk portal or something like that with the API.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Excellent.
So we're working for that in the future.
Great.
I mentioned this already, but I think this is really exciting, and this is a game changer for us in terms of communication, and that's the public roadmap. You know, going through that multiple layers of system in order to get this communication out is not tenable in an evergreen service where we are releasing updates on a monthly basis. And so, you know, 30 to 90 days out, we'll be communicating information on the updates, and this will be a great source for you to go and make sure that medium term updates to the service are in your line of sight. And so long range, you'll have system requirements. Medium term, you're going to have our public roadmap. And then near term, imminent coming to the service, you'll have communications and Message Center. So that gives you the great whole view of what's going on.
Excellent. So can you give us a little bit of a sneak peek of what Message Center will look like as we evolve it with some of these new capabilities as well?
Absolutely. And so let's go into a little bit of details on Message Center, and I can show you how it works and what that looks like. So here we are in the Office 365 Admin Center. When I enter the Admin Center, you'll notice we have the new notifications. That's the notification framework I talked about that we added into the product that lets me know that I have a message in Message Center.
Right.
When I go and actually click on that message, it'll take me into Message Center and I'll see what messages I have.
So only admins will see the notification, is that right? So my end users won't see any of those notifications.
That's correct. The notification framework we have in place for Message Center is only for admins.
Great.
So when I click on the message, it'll take me into Message Center, and you notice, for those of you who are using today, that looks a little bit different. I have a few additional tabs today that I didn't have before. First, we have View All, so you'll have a way just to consume all communications if you want to see everything. Next, we'll have our Void Issues tab, and these are the disruptive type of changes where you need to take action in order to make sure that the data is flowing to your users. The next tab is Change, the one that we're on currently, and this is where we're going to communicate those feature updates. And again, for end user feature updates for Exchange and SharePoint that we'll be delivering through first release, this is where you're going to get those communications.
Great.
We may have other communications there as well. like admin changes or updates, but we're really making sure that we're going to hit those end user feature changes here.
Okay.
Just to click into one of these, to give you an idea, this is just placeholder text, but the type of communications we'll have will provide links to additional information. For instance, so you can actually go and see additional user assistance content or deployment content that may exist for an update. Mm-hmm. We'll give you information on where the change is happening, whether it's in SharePoint Online or Exchange Online or a suite level change, the type of change, when the communication expires, when it was published, so you get an idea of when we're actually communicating to you. So we're very clear and transparent on
that. Great. And so this is the same sort of information that will be accrued into the API, that we'll be able to see this sort of stuff as well.
That's right. And we're trying to loosely tie it to an ITIL type model so
right.
that it flows into your change management system without too much additional work.
Excellent.
I'll show just a couple other quick things within Message Center. One, the change tab itself in Message Center, which we already quickly talked about. And then going forward, related to Message Center, we are doing some updates to our Office 365 admin app. So we have an admin app today. If mm-hmm. you aren't using it, it's across Windows Phone, iOS, and Android. And you as a tenant admin can go in and use your credentials, log in, and get service health information. We got feedback from customers that they didn't like to be tied to a PC to see service health, whether
yeah.
wherever they were, you know, running through their environment or at home in the evenings, they wanted to have that information. And we also have heard loud and clear that you want to consume that information on change as well, so you don't have to be tied to a PC to do that.
Great.
And so the Office 365 admin app, we will start to, coming in the future, actually publish the change communications there as well, so you'll be able to consume that
Excellent.
There also.
So a nice way on your morning commute just to stay up to date every morning or something like that, check the health of the service, check any updates that may have been coming out into your environment, those sorts of things, just from your mobile phone.
That's right. So you're always up to date, and we're communicating to you where you want to be communicated to.
Great.
Great.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for your time, Jake. So perhaps we should summarize some of the kind of key cloud principles that we have in Office 365.
Yes. Yeah, thanks, Alistair. I'm glad to be here today and to spend some time talking about this. You know, first off, you know, the new world of services is really exciting. I think we're really helping our customers uncover a lot of value in the Office products mm-hmm. that in the past were buried and we had a difficult time even getting to because of the process of going through the upgrade process, that huge heavy lifting we had to do in the Wave model. This new model, where we're delivering features on that ripple cycle on a continuous basis, is unlocking a huge amount of potential for customers in terms of how they better meet business user needs, how they're managing their data, freeing them up to do things like doing a better job of managing data, managing security, managing compliance, and really rolling things out and driving business value. So it's a really exciting time. I think our customers are pretty excited about it. We're providing an evolution of control and information in the system and how we operate and how we communicate. And so please keep giving us feedback. We'd love to hear it. And it's just going to get more exciting from here on out.
Thanks, Jake. And thanks very much for listening to this course on Office 365 Fundamentals. This is the last module on Office 365 Change Management, and look forward to hearing you soon.